Will they, won't they? Speculation heats up as the European Central Bank weighs a rate cut today. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig, in for Anu Anand. Good morning. We start with Japanese carmaker Nissan, which has confirmed plans to cut more than 12,000 jobs worldwide as it attempts to halt a steep fall in profits. The BBC's Theo Leggett reports.
Battered by scandal and struggling to curb falling sales, Nissan is taking dramatic steps. It now plans to cut 12,500 jobs worldwide and close or scale back output at up to 14 factories as it tries to reduce excess capacity and cut costs. In the 3 months to the end of June, the company made a net profit of just $59 million, compared to more than $1 billion in the same period last year, a decline of more than 94%. Sales in the United States, one of its biggest markets, have declined sharply, while there have also been concerns in Europe. Last year, the company's former chairman, Carlos Ghosn, was dismissed following his arrest in Japan on charges of financial misconduct. He denies the charges and has blamed a conspiracy among Nissan executives for his downfall. In London, I'm the BBC's Theo Leggett for Marketplace.
Excitement in the world of central banking today. Investors are nearly evenly divided about whether the European Central Bank will cut rates. Policymakers are trying to calculate the right time to boost stubbornly low inflation in Europe amid sagging global growth. Sarah Hewman is chief economist at Standard Chartered. She expects the bank will hold fire for now, but lay the groundwork for a move in September and down the line, another possible round of bond buying known as QE.
Every policy change that they've announced really since 2014 has happened when they've had updated forecasts. So it is possible that they could decide to move straight away, but we think more likely that they will wait until September.
We've seen weakness all over Europe. Can the ECB wait until the September meeting to act in some way?
The recent data have been pretty weak, particularly on the manufacturing front. So far, though, we haven't really seen that spilling over into the rest of the euro area economies. So service sector activity remains pretty good. The jobs market is still very strong. Wages are rising. Consumer confidence is improving. So there is quite a contrast here between consumers who are feeling more positive and businesses who are signaling that they are pretty pessimistic.
And you hinted about this, but ECB monetary policy is already loose. What tools does it have in its toolbox that it can use in September or at this meeting if it chooses to?
They can continue to cut interest rates. The deposit rate is already negative, but they can take it further negative. And this is the route we think is the most likely one. They also have the ability to encourage banks to lend, to ensure that lending continues to grow. And they can also restart a QE program. They finished at the end of last year. But again, Draghi has been very keen to emphasize that they have scope still to make asset purchases.
Sarah Hewen there. Let's do the numbers. The euro is at a two-month low and stocks are steady as the European Central Bank mulls that rate cut. Turkey's central bank, meanwhile, is expected to slash rates by 2.5 percentage points today. It's the first decision under new leadership after President Erdogan sacked its former governor this month for not cutting sooner. Venezuelans faced another power outage this week amid ongoing political and economic turmoil. It's crippled commerce, hampered productivity, and is likely to hit the economy in a big way. Gabriela Sade is an economist in the capital, Caracas. She explains what it's like living in this new normal.
We have this alarm that rings whenever a blackout occurs. And when these power outages happen, the public transportation is not working. I had called my dad and I asked him if he could pick me up because I knew this was going to get wild. When I went outside the building, I saw numerous people, you know, walking from one side to the other to get to their homes. I even had to lend my phone to an elderly woman because she had no way to contact her son. She had walked 3 miles and she needed to get home and she couldn't communicate with him because all the connectivity and all the signal was, you know, it gets down.
It sounds like it was a little bit chaotic, but not out of the ordinary for people living in Caracas. How often do these blackouts happen?
Yes, well, for people living in Caracas, it's actually not as regular as for those that live in other states. I mean, I have people that live in Maracaibo, which is the second largest city in Venezuela, and they are used to not having power for like 8 hours a day. But then, even though now we have the power back, like I don't have running water at home. So it's still chaotic.
This blackout has plunged the country into darkness, but will it plunge the economy into an even worse situation than it's already in?
Yes, exactly. For example, yesterday I couldn't go to work, and same happened with most of the public institutions. The first blackout, it is estimated that it caused a damage of 1% of our GDP. That's a lot. It is expected that our economy is going to contract 35% this year. And you have a country that, you know, desperately needs businesses to keep running, people that desperately need to go out and make some money to fulfill their basic needs, yet they cannot do it because they cannot even get to work. And that's without saying that, you know, you have a humanitarian crisis going on. You have hospitals that are overcrowded. You can go to a hospital and some rooms don't have power, others don't have running water. I mean, a hospital that needs to have some hygiene standards, well, they don't have them. They just don't have them.
Gabriela Sade there. Finally, record-breaking heat is tightening its grip on Europe, and an ice cream sounds, to me at least, like the perfect remedy. Consumer products giant Unilever, though, said cooler and wetter weather earlier this summer dented demand for the frozen treats in Europe and North America. That led it to miss quarterly profit estimates, which is taking a bite out of shares today. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.